your sorrows.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it.
Start the show.
Oh yeah, here we go, people.
Never get told, JQ.
Oh yeah.
No, sir.
Tokyo, good morning.
Yes, sir. America, you know that sound. Whenever you hear that intro, you are officially in the zone talking sports with the 12th man. Man, we are just flying through this month as always. Week two is in the books. We are ready to talk some sports on the September 17th date, if you will, man. So as we always like to do, I don't have mono. I don't want mono, no part of that, man. So, again, just make sure that everyone knows about that. Just saying, just got to handle business, you know, Sam Darnold. Just, I'm just saying, that's pretty messed up. But let's take a look, fellas.
Down to the third-string quarterback.
That was crazy. But and the landscape of the NFL is changing as we speak. Go ahead, JK. What were you about to say, bro?
Oh, nothing, man. I was just saying, if I don't ever see another monster truck, our dirt bike, our buggy, our ATV for at least a year and a half to 2 years. It's going to be too soon.
Oh, bro.
How you doing,
you probably heard those sounds in your sleep that night.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
four
man.
Shows in 3 days. It was crazy. Like, it was cool the first day, but the second day was like two shows. It was like, why did I do this to myself?
JQ wants to be a yes, that's going to be his future career, man. So just keep that up, man. It's all good,
oh,
bro.
Oh, gosh.
Hey,
no
let's get this party started, as we always like to do with the fellas. Curtis and Gary will check in with you guys in a quick second. As always, I'm sure you guys got a lot to talk about, and you guys are flying high with the Cowboys. Wow. And, again, as I said, the landscape of the NFL has definitely changed with a lot of injuries. You know, Rob, he's probably crying in the field position right now. We'll try to get him a little comfort, sort of. But, again,
no tears
here.
Part of the game.
No tears. Yeah, you crying, bro, on the inside. Hey, JQ, how you feeling this evening, bro?
Oh, I'm good. Rob is good because, you know, he know he's coming back. And in that division, if they can just find a way to go 3-3 over these 6 weeks, they still got a shot.
All right. It's all good. Okay. Rob Ford. What you got, bro?
Oh, man. Hey, you know, just praying for
the people
here in Southeast Texas and Houston. Got tropical storm. Emerald Melda or something like that. Yeah, but it's been raining nonstop here. So, you know, Houston is prone for flooding too. So we're just praying for this area here for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. So be safe out there, Southeast Texas. Drive safe.
Yeah. Make sure Joel Osteen opens the door to the church this time. I know that's
a
little low. I'm sorry.
That was Oh, man. And way to lighten the mood, too, because, again, I was going to, like, say Rob took us on a dark path, but, of course, JQ brings it right back to some jokes, man. So, again, that's what we like to do, man. Talking sports with 12th man for you. All right. Really quickly, and again, Curtis and Gary, stay tuned, guys. We got
another big win
as well, too. We ain't waiting for this, bro. We ain't talking about this yet, man. Not yet, man. Hold on, bro. Let me go to the numbers real quick. Joe Burrow is doing his thing, though. I ain't gonna lie, man. But again, we'll talk about this later, man. Because again, we got to talk some numbers and all that fun stuff here. So throw out these numbers. Dogs barking in the background. We got this. The number calling the show. It's always 424-243-9519. It's all good. And then follow us on Twitter at the number 12. THMAN Sports, and last but not least, going to show some love to Facebook. If you want to go to the show, follow us on Facebook. Either go to facebook.com/talkingsportsthe12thman, or if you type in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. Shout out to my boy Tony, hopefully listening in, fellow Falcon fan. But again, I know we were talking a lot of things about the changing landscape of the NFL, and Dan as well. Dan is in Cleveland, so I don't know what he's dealing with right now. But, yeah, we'll talk about that as well, if you will. So let's get this party started here, and we're going to kick it right off the gate. We're going to recap some college football, and let's talk about Arizona State at Michigan State. So, again, I'll let you kick off this, Rob, and then, again, we'll keep this going, if you will. So go ahead, Rob.
How about Herm Edwards with a 10-7 road victory?
Man.
In East Lansing, Michigan. But I tell you what, boy, Michigan State got robbed at the end of that football game. You know, tried to kick a field goal there. They missed it, but Arizona State should have been flagged for a penalty for leaping over a player. And they should have had a chance at a re-kick to send that game into overtime. But what I don't understand for the life of me, how is Michigan State the home team and they got Pac-12 officials calling the game? I don't understand that.
Right.
Obviously, Michigan State had more penalties in the game than Arizona State did. But, I mean, obviously, Arizona State won the game. They're now ranked number 24th in the country. But, you know, you can – Michigan State, that game should have gone to overtime. And Michigan State should have had an opportunity to win that game in overtime. But for the life of me, how the hell you get Pac-12 officials and you at home, Michigan State?
Point saving. Point saving.
One thing to say, Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards.
Y'all stop that.
Yes, Herm. Herm Edwards must have negotiated in Pac-12 official calling that game.
You know what I'm going to call it.
He's no dummy.
You know what I'm going to call it, right, Dre? You know what that was?
What?
That game?
That was a bum fight?
A bum fight.
A bum fight.
10-7, man. Come on, man. In a day and age where you can't even touch anybody on defense, all y'all can get was 17 points in the whole four quarters. I'm glad the officials did that. That way they put us all out of our misery, and nobody had to watch that going to eight overtimes because nobody could score a touchdown. That was so bad, bro. I mean, when you talk about being hyped up.
4 hours, too.
yeah, that 17 points. 10-7. I was trying to watch pieces of it in between, you know, people jumping off mounds and the monster trucks and whatnot. And every time I look back for it, it was like 3rd and 14. You know what I'm saying? 2nd and 17. I'm like, what is going on in East Lansing? That game is terrible. And Charles Barkley, terrible. Like, they should be ashamed of themselves. They had a chance to really help the Big Ten and the Pac-12 by having a good, exhilarating game, and it was 10-7. That's all I got.
Man. West Coast.
What can you say? I'm just going to say here. Well, this is a home-and-home, and last year down in Arizona beat them. I don't think Herm Edwards is a dummy. And I tell you guys, the Pac-12 has, around the league, has some really good coaches. The only two coaches in the Pac-12 that I have some questions on, although I thought about this earlier, when you're dealing with Phil Knight, I think Phil Knight operates like Jerry Jones. I think they have to have a coach that's a yes man to Phil Knight, just like Jerry Jones has to have a coach that's a yes man to Jerry Jones. So I guess Oregon, you know, he's a guy that I have some questions on, but I'm sure that's a Phil Knight thing, and he has to fit with Phil Knight. And I think that's what's going on in Oregon. And then the other guy I have questions about is the guy at USC, Clay Helton. I'm not sure what he's doing, and I'm not sure how long he's going to be sitting down there. I know he's on the hot seat, and USC is not, they got potential. This guy may not make it through the season. Boy, USC's coach may not make it through the season. And the other thing I got, I hear Chip Kelly is not a booster guy.
Yeah.
I hear he's not really heavy into that recruiting thing. But I'm hearing that he's got a lot of the big money guys and a lot of the big corporation guys down there in L.A. He is not smoothing those guys, and those guys don't like it. And so if he gets thrown out, it's not going to be because of his record.
See it.
It's going to be because he's not playing the game. He's not playing the Hollywood. He's not playing the Hollywood game. Yeah, he's not out down there trying to smooth the money.
You know what? They would still live with it if he would win the game and get somebody big, but he's out there getting drugged by Cincinnati and Oklahoma. It's like, you can't do both.
Yeah. What's fascinating to me about Chip Kelly and UCLA, man, like, you're supposed to be an offensive guru, man. I mean, come on.
Right.
I mean, I can see if you hadn't been able to fix the defense just yet, but you would think with a guy with his so-called offensive mind that he would have a place like UCLA putting up a lot of points, but it just has not materialized yet for Chip Kelly at UCLA. And how much longer? I mean, is Chip, you got to ask the question, is Chip Kelly going to give up on UCLA or is UCLA going to give up on Chip Kelly? Which one is going to happen first?
UCLA giving up on Chip Kelly. He's paying you all this money. Come out here with these punk ass results.
Chip Kelly ain't going nowhere. Y'all got to carry me, get the job off my cold dead hands, if you will. That's my thing about that. Yeah. Do you want to recap Oklahoma at UCLA? Speaking of that,
There you go. If you look at a Rose Bowl crowd of over 52,000, and probably more than half of that stadium was Oklahoma fans, that's just the state of UCLA football right now. And Jalen Hurts was just flat out phenomenal in that football game. 289 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, 150 yards rushing, and another touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
He had a long run in that game. Obviously, he just technically just lit UCLA up in that football game. But the state of the UCLA program is just is horrible right now for such a school with a lot of rich tradition. 52,000 people showed up for that game and lost.
And they were gonna give all the season ticket holders 4 more tickets. Did you read that? They were gonna give all the season ticket holders 4 more tickets just so they could fill it up, and they still only got 52,000, and it was mostly Oklahoma.
Wow.
I mean, that's an indictment. When you mean to tell me I'm gonna give you 4 free tickets for being a season ticket holder, and all y'all gonna get 52,000 people?
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good look, Chip. I'm just saying that's awful. But I mean, you're right there. I mean, I'm not gonna put them all on it. Jalen Hurts is just putting up positive numbers right now, and UCLA didn't do anything to slow that train down. He looks like he's learned how to pass some. I need a little bit bigger sample size and a little bit better competition. But, you know, all the marks that got him benched in favor of Tua is, that, you know, he's starting to throw that ball a little bit better. He always could run the ball. But the fact that he can now throw that ball from the pocket and break out and run from it makes him really, really dangerous. And he couldn't have gone to a better place for that kind of system to go to Oklahoma. So, considering they've had the top 2 number one picks and the past 2 Heisman. So, it's all falling together once again for him in Oklahoma.
I definitely don't think he'll be the number one pick. But if Lincoln Riley gets another Heisman winner out of him, I'm like, wow. I mean, you just got to tip your hat to Lincoln Riley. And I think he's definitely in the Heisman conversation. I don't think he'll be the number one pick, so that won't happen. But he's definitely in the Heisman conversation with the way he's performing. And then you got to look at Oklahoma's schedule this year, too. I mean, the Texas might be
the
toughest team on the schedule, and that's it. I mean, that team could easily be undefeated by the end of the year, easily, very easily this year. So, I mean, that's going to be an intriguing matchup when that matchup comes around.
Mm-hmm. Stay fair, baby.
Yep. Bo.
Chris, care what you got?
Well, I mean, I kind of saw it coming. And I'm thinking, when I was watching that game, I'm trying to think what Chip Kelly's speaking. Yeah. Yeah. He watched that.
Wait, no, lightning strike.
You got problems.
Probably like, why am I coaching this team? What am I doing? You know, he's watching Jalen Hurts, and Oklahoma probably showed Chip Kelly all the things he wished he had.
That's true.
That's what I was picturing when I was watching that game.
Sam Bamford back in the day.
Yeah. But, you know, whenever the heat gets too hard on the UCLA program, where they want to go to, oh, we're not a football school. We're a basketball school. And I think that's a hard place for UCLA to go in the Pac-12. Thinking they're a basketball school, because I don't see it, and I haven't seen it in the last 10 years. What I have seen in the Pac-12 as a basketball school is the Oregon school. Now, the other thing I want to say about this college football Saturday, it's a rare event. It is a rare event, and I take notice when both Oregon teams win in the state on the same day. That is rare, and that is a great Oregon college day. We had Oregon State beat one of those Cal Poly or Cal San Luis Obispo, Panera Bread, I'm not sure what it was.
Wow.
Well, hey, Oregon State won. And, hey, give Oregon State a win when they get a win. It's a good day. And
you
then
sound like Rob over here.
Oregon, yeah, Oregon beat up. Well, the class of that lower tier team, where Portland State is, and I don't think Boise State is down there.
No.
But, you know, these little schools, the class of the little schools is that Montana school. And, you know, Oregon's got to get ready. They got to get ready for this. They got to do whatever they can to win this Pac-12. And Utah is sitting pretty. And Utah looks like they want it. And they may want it more than anybody else in the Pac-12 college football.
You know, I will say that you know, the only thing I may disagree with you slightly about, Curtis, is the fact that UCLA, I mean, they are known as a basketball school, but they have been putting out some talent within the last 10 years. Obviously, you know, we're not going back to the days of Maurice Jones-Drew just yet, but again, you got to think about linebackers. I know, again, but that was hilarious. But again, they have put some incredible linebackers in the NFL. Again, not that, you know, whatever, but you know, you do have some talent out there too. So you know, we're not going to talk about Jim Moore, what he's done, and you know how back in the day that was. But again, they have been kind of the other school versus USC. Both of those programs had such high expectations, but now they're kind of like afterthoughts because, again, Pac-12, man, the Pac-10 at the time was all USC. But then again, there's been a shift in power with Oregon kind of doing their thing. And then, you know, Washington kind of figured out what they want to do. And then, you know, obviously getting Chris Peterson. I mean, there's a lot of moving dynamics with that, with the West. So, again, there's talent there 100%, but it does seem like the NFL very similar. The landscape is slightly changing, and it hasn't been for the better, too. There hasn't been one squad that's just been the dominant school like it used to be in the past. That used to be USC, but now no more, and then it's kind of going back and forth, too. But that's my little 2 cents on that. I know we got to talk about these predictions, if you will. Do you have anything else to add to that, Gary, before we get to the predictions, if you will?
No, I don't have anything to add to that. Let's move on.
You wait for the Cowboys.
Yeah, the only thing I'll add to that real quick is, you know, UCLA, yeah, has historically been more of a basketball school. That is true. But they have They have had some good football teams over the years, too. Go back the last 40 to 50 years, too. So they have some football history. But I think you still expect more from a football program out of UCLA than what we're seeing right now. They're in Los Angeles with a ton of talent right there in their backyard. I mean, like I said, they do have more success on a basketball field or court, I'm sorry. But they have, I mean, they have had some success as a football program. You still expect more out of them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Reggie, okay, we're going to keep this moving here. I was going to say something else. Let's talk about some college football prediction. I'm getting a little too excited here. We got number 11, Michigan, at number 13, Wisconsin. I'm going to start out with West Coast. What are your thoughts on that?
They don't care.
I'm going with Wisconsin. How about that? I'm going with Wisconsin.
No, we care. We care. I heard something earlier today. Bo Schembechler never lost to Wisconsin. A shot at this man better not go up there and lose to Wisconsin. But if he can't get his offense straight, and they're saying Michigan's offense is sputtered, you know, not looking like they're sharp, and the Wisconsin team hasn't allowed a point this year, you know, people are going to be thinking in Michigan, Bo Schembechler never lost to Wisconsin, and that's not going to look good for Harbaugh. I think he might take some lumps this year. And that's
some
what
lumps,
I'm watching.
You think?
Yeah, I think he might. Yeah, I think he might take some lumps. He might lose four games this year. And then what is Michigan going to do? And then what is that faithful up there going to be like?
I hope they keep him forever. I hope they keep him forever.
Oh man!
Yeah, you know, I'm being ugly. I know I am. Go ahead, Bob.
If Michigan lose four games this year, Jim Harbaugh won't be back for Michigan next year. I can promise you that, unless they somehow beat Ohio State. But and I don't see that happening. But when you look at this game, I can tell you this: I was not that high on Wisconsin going into this season. Because I just didn't think they had the quarterback play, and I thought there was some deficiencies in their defense. But I will tell you this, I would have to say I was thoroughly wrong. I knew they had a really good offensive line, and so offensively that would keep them in ball games. But they are a lot better football team than I thought they would be. And at home, and I have not been impressed with Michigan at all. I have not been impressed with them at all this season. So I like Wisconsin this game.
At all?
And I think they can beat Michigan. I think Wisconsin is going to win this game by at least 10 points, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, and the thing about that
27-17.
Is
27-17.
Yeah, Camp Randall's a tough place to play, for one. And two, you know, I think they have the best player on both teams, and that's Jonathan Taylor. And if you're Wisconsin, you want to take the air out of the ball, run the ball, play solid defense, allow Michigan to make mistakes because they've been prone to do it. They still have not, like you said, have not picked up that offense quite yet. They're trying to spread it out and let Shea Patterson use some of those weapons like People Jones out there on the outside. But another thing that's crazy about Michigan is they just have not been able to run the football. And if you think about the lineage of Michigan football, the fact that they can't run the ball, like they are abysmal at running the ball, it's shocking. It's almost like that they sacrificed the running game for trying to spread people out. Last couple of years, they could run the ball, but they didn't have any real big explosive plays down the field, and they didn't win that way either. So they said, okay, let's go the other way and spread people out and try to, you know, go into this era of college football where you kind of air raid, but along the way they lost their running game. So they are a team to me that is lacking identity, having an identity crisis of, do we stay being old school Michigan and keep going back to pounding the rock, or are we just not talented enough with our offensive line? And then how does that play into us not being able to pass block as well? So they got some things to figure out, and Camp Randall's not the place to figure it out. So I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go with Wisconsin as well. Honestly, you know, I feel like it's a 7-10 point spread. I think it's going to be low scoring. And if Wisconsin, I think you try to do that to take the, you know, like I said, take the air off the ball, run Jonathan Taylor, let him have a Heisman type day. And I think he's the difference.
Yeah. And Wisconsin is the true Big Ten style program right now. Jonathan Taylor and that offensive line, ball control offense, and then they're playing good defense as well, too. That's going to be the difference in this game. They win.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, Jim Harbaugh. No fans down here. Let's talk about number 8, Auburn, at number 17, Texas A&M, Rob.
I tell you what, this is an intriguing matchup for me to look into. You look at Nix, the freshman quarterback for Auburn. He's got 4 touchdowns, 2 INTs on the season as a freshman quarterback. Going on the road in another tough environment here, and Auburn is ranked number 8, Texas A&M is number 17. I think, to me, that's going to be the difference. A freshman quarterback going on the road in a tough environment, Kellen Mond, an experienced quarterback. Auburn has got a tremendous defense, and Auburn might have the best defense in the SEC this year. Alabama's got some injuries. They just got another big injury. LSU has got a good starting 11 on defense, but they don't have the depth on defense that they've had in years past. And LSU might be in for a shift. They probably just are better offensively than they are defensively this year, which hasn't been the best for LSU.
Joe Burrow can play defense, too.
Auburn and Georgia might be the best defenses in the SEC, but I just don't think Auburn can go on a roll with this freshman quarterback in that environment to win. I'm going to go with A&M at home in this game.
I agree. And it scares me because I feel like I'm going to take all the home teams, and you feel like, you know, just the law of averages, one of them is going to slip up. But I'm with you. You're still talking about Mon. And that Auburn defense is really, really good. But the problem is they're going to be on
that defensive line, too.
Yeah, they're going to be on the field for too many snaps. And I think they keep that game close in the first half when that defense can still be fresh. But when that offense isn't clicking with it, like you said, a freshman quarterback on the road, and you have 3 and outs, and you got that A&M offense with Jimbo Fisher leading it, and they on their play after play after play, high tempo, you start to wear those boys out in the third and fourth quarter. And I think that's where the difference is. I think it's a close game. I can see Auburn winning it just because of the strength of that defense, but I think it's maybe like a 4 to 7 point game where Texas A&M kind of holds on at the end, and Nix makes one too many mistakes in that game on the road.
I agree. I think 2014 is kind of what I see and vision with A&M winning.
Well, if there's one thing that travels well, and that's a defense. So if you're coming in and you're playing that defense, you're going to keep that. You're going to keep that team in it. And I don't think. I think Auburn is going to win this game. And I think just the opposite score of you, Rob. I think it's going to be Auburn that comes away with a 10-point win on the road.
Yeah, one thing that does not travel well is a freshman quarterback, though.
This guy is working on being a legend, and if he does this, that's going to heighten it some. Like I said, they're going to keep it close, and coming down the stretch, that freshman boy, and he's going to get tossed around a bit, and he's going to get his bell rung a couple times in this game. But coming down in the last 3 minutes of that ball game, that freshman kid's going to figure out, and Auburn's going to figure out a way to come away with that win in Texas Tech. I think they're Abilene. I'm not sure what that is.
I think you'll probably see that's an even mix even across the country. We're calling this game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's keep this going here. This is pretty interesting. I know if you're Florida State, you're sending I miss you letters to Jimbo Fisher, by the way. So that's a bad little knock. But, again, they wish they would have made things a lot better too. Hey, let's move on to the last game here, Notre Dame.
Got to be careful.
Number 3. Nope. They wishing that they come back. Hey, come on back. We're sorry. Come on. Bring back Jimbo. Hey, let's talk about number 7 Notre Dame at number 3, Georgia, JQ.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell you, there are some teams that I just don't trust on the big stage, and I think a lot of people feel that way about Notre Dame. and I'm one of them. I like Ian Book at quarterback. I think he's got enough mobility to kind of keep them in this game from just getting blown out. But I like Fromm and I like DeAndre Swift. I just think Georgia at home, you know, between the heads, that's going to be a tough place for Notre Dame to come get a win. And they are in desperate need of a signature win in the Brian Kelly era. I think right now they've gotten destroyed in the college playoffs the past couple of times. It's just in the last 2 years ago, they also lost at home to this Georgia team. I just don't see them going to Athens and getting a win. I mean, that would be monumental. I would come up here on this show and eat crow next week if Notre Dame does it. But it's just one of those teams you're like, yeah, and then they don't do it, and then you get yourself rolled up again. Yeah, no. And I just don't trust Notre Dame. I don't trust Brian Kelly. I mean, they have a decent team, but they just, to me, when the stage is the brightest, they just don't do it at that level. So I'm going to go with Georgia. Georgia has a really good team. They just got to deal with Alabama and LSU and that SEC. It is what it is, but I just don't see Notre Dame going to Athens and getting a win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree with that.
No.
When you look at that,
I would definitely agree with that as well. I would agree with that as well. I think Notre Dame over the years has been, you know, been a little bit of fool's gold there. You know, they tend to rank them a little higher right off the bat, and then they get in a bowl game or get in a big matchup, and I don't trust them either. I'm going with Georgia on this one. Curtis, what about you?
I think Georgia is sending the whole SEC a message. I think Georgia is trying to, on this game, they're going to send the SEC a message that they're ready for Alabama. And they are going to be ready to come out. So Notre Dame's in a lot of trouble. They are in a lot of trouble. Because I think Georgia's looking at being the class of the SEC.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a unanimous sweep here. I'm going with Georgia as well. And as JQ mentioned, Ian Book is a guy that I've been impressed with since last year. But when you look at Georgia, they just have a lot more they can throw at you. I mean, they got Jake Fromm, the experienced quarterback, DeAndre Swift. They're young at the skill positions on offense, but their offensive line is dominant. Their defensive line is dominant, and they're strong in all three units on defense. So they just, to me, they just have a lot more to throw at you than Notre Dame does. And I can see this being a 2-touchdown victory for Georgia, as a matter of fact. I'm going to go 31-17 Georgia at home, and I don't like Georgia. But you got to give them credit where credit is due. And I agree with Curtis. I think they are in the national championship conversation. I think they're that good.
And if they get this victory, that's going to give them a great, you know, discussion point if they end up in that top four or five about, you know, who has this, you know, non-conference schedule. And you go ahead and beat it. I think what Notre Dame is seventh. You go ahead and knock them off at home. You know, not too many teams are going to have a non-conference win as impressive by the numbers that Georgia will be able to boast about come that time next year, this December, when we talk about the college football playoffs. So if they win this game, not only is it just for this message to the SEC, but it's also to the committee that who else has a better non-conference win than we did.
Yeah, and then when you look at the SEC East now, hey, Florida's out with Felipe Franks is out for the season. So now they're going with two quarterbacks playing for the rest of the season for them. And we all know that that usually doesn't work. And that was
it. Stay spray here. Work good for me. Keep going. Stay spray here.
Stay spray ain't coming through that door no more.
It worked for Urban Meyer.
Urban Meyer, you're right. So, yeah, I mean, the East is set up for them to cruise. And I don't have their schedule in front of me, so I don't know who their cross-divisional opponents are this year in the East. I'm sorry, from going against the West. So I don't have that information in front of me. But I don't think they play Alabama or LSU this year. And to me, those are the only two teams in the West that can. Or they play Auburn every year, so I forgot about that. They play Auburn every year, but Auburn, I don't think, could beat Georgia this year, home or away. And I don't know who the other team they are playing in the East.
Texas A&M.
Where they're playing at?
In Georgia.
I don't think it matters, though.
I don't either, but they're playing in Athens, too. So,
I don't think Auburn or Texas A&M could beat Georgia regardless of where they're playing.
I would agree with that.
I'll get
LSU,
by the way, man,
and Georgia, Alabama, only two teams in the West that's capable of beating this year.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia doesn't like you either, too, by the way, Rob. Just want to throw that out there, letting you know, man. So, anyway,
that's
keep
fine.
Us moving
you're
here.
Georgia, you're a Georgia Tech fan. You're not supposed to like them either.
I don't like Georgia either. I said Georgia don't like you. That's all I said, man. I didn't say anything about my allegiance, so I can care less, man.
But
you know,
like
I'm just trying to like.
You're Georgia Tech fan.
They don't like me either. Hey, 100%. I don't like them either. So hey, it's all good. I was just.
Hard to sit down.
Yeah. Here we
sorry.
Go.
My bad.
Man, I've been dealing with this crap all damn week, man. Appreciate you.
I wasn't gonna bring it up, Andre.
Man, that's some bullshit. Man.
I wasn't gonna bring
can't
it up.
Believe. Freaking Bulldog fans, and they're like, Bulldogs is Bulldogs, same result. Man, kiss my. Hey, let's move on to the next.
Hey,
oh, man.
I said kiss my, and I paused. I didn't continue on, man. Basically,
I didn't realize
you said
Bulldogs, too. That's cool.
That's
my bad,
exactly
my
what,
bad.
Man.
I heard all weekend.
I heard all weekend, man, but it's all good. But I'm stronger for it. That
sounds like
say.
One of them NCAA tournament upset.
Okay, keep going, man. Come on, Rob. You ain't got to put salt into it.
Man, that's what Rob does, man. He's an habitual line stepper.
I didn't
even
bring it up.
You know what you are, a habitual line stepper. You just followed him right down. You didn't stop him.
I didn't even bring it up.
We beat up JQ and the Lakers. JQ brought
man.
It up, but we know the deal. But you know, it's like whenever we get on JQ and the Lakers, man, it's all fun and games until you talk about your squad. So again,
that's right.
I'm gonna defend my squad, man. That's what you do. So y'all can suck
that's
it.
True.
Oh, you sure. Can suck it for that. It's all good. Hey, don't get
I'm
me started,
man.
Me, let me get.
Hey, I'm a Saints fan through and through, with or without Drew Brees. That's my team.
You're gonna be a true Saints fan, all right.
I'm a Saints fan.
You heard
it
that,
don't matter.
You
I
heard
stick,
that?
I stick
that,
by my team.
That whole cry
that he
of,
does.
Of the world, like the whole New Orleans is like, oh, that whole I felt that whole city went down. Like, oh, Teddy Bridgewater came
I don't hop
game,
around
the like,
winning teams
oh,
like you can do to go
shit.
Jump on the Warriors bandwagon.
Come on, let's reel it back in.
So now we're gonna talk about the Warriors bandwagon. That's what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do, huh?
Yeah, no, we're not.
I told you that's what we're gonna do. 1,000,000,000 times that my wife is a Warriors fan, and you like players, and if you like players, they come to the league, man, right? If you like certain players, I told you I was a fan of Steph Curry. I told you that. And I'm like, hey, I hope
damn it, Robert,
again,
why
you
do, why would
thing.
You do that?
So again, he's trying to get me riled up. So and again,
try.
So he's talking about the Robert Lee.
I forgot
like,
about the Citadel
like,
actually.
Oh,
I know I didn't. But
Jerry,
yeah,
sorry,
come on, let's
guys.
Go.
I went a little tangent. I'm not gonna go down this route tonight. I could go down this route tonight, bro. Everything was going fine. I got your Saints stuff for you later on, too, Rob. So we're going to keep it going, too, man. So it's all good.
Oh, my goodness.
We love you, brother.
Hey, man. Love you, too, man. It's all good, man. I can't wait to see what happens, man, in the year, man. So it's all good. See you at the end. Hey, Rob. No, I'm not going to give it to Rob. I'm going to throw it to JQ. Let's do Ohio State in Nebraska here. Because we've got about 21 minutes. No, that's exactly how I'm going to do it. No, I mean, it was actually kind of.
I didn't even bring up the Citadel. He's mad at me. I didn't even bring it up.
I'm not mad at you bring up Citadel. Then I'm mad at you bring up the Warriors because you just kept going. See how that happened? So like, keep it going. You didn't even like Georgia. Oh, speaking of that,
great radio.
Talk about the Warriors. Oh, my goodness. See how he kind of segued? Then the habitual line never came right into play.
So, great radio for our listeners. I love it.
Curtis,
yes, it
I'm
is.
So sorry, man. That's what we do, man. Get me hot, man. Blood pressure's already on fire. Go ahead, JQ.
Nebraska and Ohio State. It's still cupcake season, so you don't get too high, you get too low. I was only a little worried about Ohio State because it's Justin Fields' first conference road game. But for whatever reason, Indiana always plays us tough in the first half. It's just I can't even put it into words or logic why that happens when they have much more talent, but they do. But they generally give us a tough game in the first half. But this week, you know, Justin Fields came out, and then him and J.K. Dobbins just actually put on the show from the get-go. So it alleviates some of those fears. But then, you know, after Miami of Ohio, they got to go to Nebraska, and it's going to be a 7:30 start on ABC. So that one, you know, it gives me a little worried. But segue into Nebraska. They played Northern Illinois. I mean, they did what they were supposed to do. They had a scare the first week, but then they came and bounced back and they did what they needed to do. And for both of them, really, I think they were going to try to be as vanilla as possible this week coming up and not get anybody hurt. So, one, they have everybody available in 2 weeks for that game. And then for two, you know, don't put anything on tape that the other team can prepare for and maybe get them an edge over you. So this is just one of those weeks where they both fail serve, and they're going to both try to hold serve here again on Saturday. We're doing the minimal as possible to put on tape for the other team to prepare for. But, you know, we talked about it before the season started. We thought Nebraska would come out the West, and they still could. Wisconsin has played a little bit better than we thought they would, but I think I'm still sticking with Nebraska as my pick. So we'll see. That's going to be a big clash between Ohio State and Nebraska. But, you know, two wins for them that they were supposed to get, and they're supposed to get two wins this weekend, and then we'll see what happens in 2 weeks.
Well, I tell you, I'm impressed with Ohio State. I have to give credit where credit is due. I mean, I know Cincinnati's probably the toughest opponent that they played. And obviously beating Indiana was a Big Ten victory on the road. But, I mean, the run game is there. The defense is creating havoc. They're performing in the red zone. Now, obviously, you want to see if they can continue to do those things. Justin Fields, as I mentioned before the season, was one of my top seven quarterbacks. And so far, he's proven me right. And so I think with all of those elements, they're another team that's in the national championship running this year. So I've been very impressed with them. Nebraska obviously played Northern Illinois. You know, they dominated the game. Martinez was awesome in the football game. But when you look at that Nebraska game, they had big plays on all three levels: defense, special teams, offensively with Martinez making big plays in the passing game and running game. Obviously, they had a big blow losing to Colorado on the week before, the old Big 8 nemesis. And so, obviously, that was a tough blow. But Nebraska and Wisconsin is going to be an interesting matchup from the West. I think Ohio State's going to run away with the other side of the Big Ten from the looks of it. But Nebraska and Wisconsin could be interesting. But as of right now, Wisconsin looks slightly stronger. But, you know, a good win for Nebraska as well.
Great. Curtis and Gary getting, getting a little restless over there. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, what I want to say is the Ohio State.
Yes, sir.
They're gonna be looking good in that game.
Don't make JQ's head bigger than what it is.
The Ohio State. Well, you know, talking about big hands. You know, Nick Saban said this. I'm going to play anybody, anywhere. But what he didn't say, anywhere, he meant either in Dallas or Atlanta. And the SEC seems to take that neutral site game in college football, and they're going to play a neutral site game. It's either going to be in Dallas or it's going to be in Atlanta.
Come in
and
Dallas.
So, yeah, you know, I don't see how neutral site that really is, and I don't believe the FCC when they say they'll play anybody anywhere. But Ohio State, and, you know, we're talking Big 12 or whatever they are now.
Big 10.
They got a lot of teams
Big
in
10.
That division. That's the Big 10.
Big 7.
It's the Big 10. Y'all stop it. It'll always
yeah,
be
okay. Big Ten with about 20 teams in it. But
Big Ten plus two.
You know, in Nebraska, when I was growing up, Nebraska was out there with Colorado and with Oklahoma.
Yeah, the Big Eight.
And that kind of made more sense to me. So, you know, this realignment and where that goes. Who knows? I did want to mention, though, you talk about that loss Nebraska had to Colorado. I saw the game. Colorado lost the Air Force. Mm. And they lost the Air Force in overtime. And they were playing catch-up all game long. And Air Force beat them in Boulder. And it was an amazing game. And Air Force gave Colorado everything. Gave them a what for. It was something else, and it was hard to see a Pac-12 team lose the Air Force. But
the Air Force is a tough
is.
Squad, man. Don't let that slip any, man. They run that crazy offense too. Like, I'm not going to dare say triple option, but yeah, it's tough to play, man. I'm telling you. You don't get a chance to see that a lot.
Yeah, I saw
academies,
it.
Man.
And so did Colorado. You don't have to tell me or them. But no, Ohio State is poised, and you know, there's a lot of my relatives graduated from Ohio State.
Hey.
Okay.
I know the Ohio State people. They don't expect anything less than being in that national championship. And so every year they work on that assumption. They work on that desire to be in that national championship game. And Nebraska doesn't got enough. They just don't.
Goosebumps.
Yeah, man, but we got to go to Nebraska at night, and sometimes that's a great equalizer going on the road. You know, it's going to be a red out or a white out or a black out or something. They're going to be ready. And my only concern is just that Justin Fields has not been in this position yet. Does he have the talent? Absolutely. But to go against a team that's going to be ranked in 2 weeks on the road at night and play them in conference on the road, everybody here has a team. And you look at one team that maybe is flying below the radar or not below the radar, but like, you know what, we got to go to them and we got to play them at night. And a piece of you is like, man, this is going to be a tougher game than it should be. And I think that's going to be that for them for Ohio State. That's going to be a tough game for them. They may pull away late, but it's going to be nip and tuck, I think, through the first 2.5 quarters. I really do.
Nice. Okay. All right. We got about, we got about 13 minutes here to keep going here. And I definitely want to talk about some NFL stuff here. I do want to talk about some fantasy shout-outs, too. So hopefully we get that in before we get to the OT portion. But let's kind of talk about this. Let's talk about a nice little announcement that popped up on the feed was the fact that Daniel Jones will be starting for the Giants. Not that we didn't see this was a total surprise, but, yeah, what say you about this? I'm going to start West Coast on your thoughts about that. I know you guys don't really care, but, yeah, what say you about this?
Well, we knew that it was coming. You know, they were high on him and selected him high. People had some issues with it. He played good in preseason. We'll see how he does against, you know, against these opponents, these starters, and in the real show. Well, you know, he's going to have some. There's going to be a learning curve for him, that's for sure. And he's replacing. You know, part of it is he's also replacing a two-time Super Bowl winner, and you know, so that could also be in the back of his head. He is.
I'm saying, come on, man, it's like, yeah, that's like, you know, what have you done for me lately, honestly, because it's like, man,
yeah.
Eli, he has taken a dip, but go ahead.
That's what
it is a man, and, you know, it's Daniel Jones time, and it's time to get past a shot fighter, a shot player, Eli Manning. Now, what I've heard is when you take his record, he has as many wins and losses. He may be going in the Hall of Fame, and he's done one of the favorite things that if you're a real football fan in a way, he's done one of the most favorite things that a lot of people really like. He was able to take the undefeated Patriot team and beat them, and he was able to beat them again. And Tom Brady actually mentioned that recently. Those two losses to Eli Manning and the Giants hurt, and they still hurt. Yay!
Curtis is all about hating about the Patriots. We love it. Keep going, man.
I love it.
I love it.
But I tell you what, This movie,
oh my gosh,
is number one. It's about Eli Manning's performance, and Eli Manning hasn't been Eli Manning hasn't been the same for 3 years.
Overdue.
But I'm gonna tell you, number two,
overdue.
This is a move for Saquon Barkley too. They have to show Saquon that they're heading in the right direction, and they're not showing Saquon that they're heading in the right direction with Eli at quarterback. And Daniel Jones, myself included, was down on him on where the Giants took him in the draft. And I know it's preseason, but he was very impressive in the preseason. What, he was 39 out of 44 and, from a passing standpoint. I can't remember how many touchdown passes, but he was very accurate with football. Obviously, we're going into a regular season. So he showed you some promise in the preseason. You got to put him out on the field, and you have to show Saquon Barkley that you're heading in the right direction before you start getting discouraged and disgruntled. And you're starting to see, in the past, you didn't see NFL players going around asking for trades like the way you are right now, Minkah Fitzpatrick and now Jalen Ramsey. And that was normally an NBA thing. NFL players typically have waited until they became free agents before they started looking around. But they have to make this move for Saquon Barkley, because when you look at these first two games, one player on that team that has balled out has been Saquon Barkley. And when you look at his stats from both of these first two games, they have to make this move for him to show that this organization is about to turn and start heading for the right direction. And maybe that he can see that those two players can grow together and build that organization back up. They have to do this for Saquon Barkley.
You know, that's a really interesting point. I hadn't really thought about it from that perspective. And I wonder, and I'll get to Jeremy Jones in a second, if they also take another piece to him and say, you know what, we're not even going to let it wait till it gets to a point where it's in the fourth year and we have to pick up his option, which we know we're going to do. Do they, after this year, after his third year, you know, rip up that rookie deal and say, you know what, we're going to build this around you and Daniel. We're going to pay you first and give him his when time is due. So that's a very excellent point. I wonder if they'll do that just for that reason of, you know what, we're going to lock you up. We know we value you here. We're not even going to go down this path, the Melvin Gordon, Zeke Elliott path, Le'Veon Bell. No, 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 no. We can go ahead and make you pay because you are the engine for this offense, which would be, you know, not a really good material precedent for other teams. They'll be pissed off if they did that. But for the Giants and Saquon Barkley, to your point, Rob, it's an excellent point. They may end up doing that. But to Daniel Jones right now, he's in a win-win. If he comes in there and does that and wins with that team, or at least makes them competitive, they can say, oh, you know what, yeah, like you said, you know, y'all suck it. Look what he's doing out here. And everybody wrote us off. At least he's putting us in the games. But if he loses, they can also have that fallback to, well, Golden Tate suspended. Sterling Shepard has been in the concussion protocol. You know, they have excuses, kind of fallback plans that they can speak on if he doesn't necessarily go in and ball out, because he's going to have a limited wide receiver core around him. I think Ingram also was in the concussion protocol at tight end. So it's going to be an uphill battle for him right now. You just hope that offensive line doesn't get him carved where he just gets sacked 100 times in his rookie year and then he's just not the same after that. So, you know, if that doesn't happen, he got him built in excuses if he fails, but then he can be a world beater if he wins, or at least makes them seem like they're competitive. And you got a good point, too. Also makes Saquon Barkley look like, you know what, we got the right dude. Now we just got to put the other pieces around us and we can ball and bring the Giants back to where we feel like we're supposed to be as the New York football Giants.
New York football Giants. I love it. Hey, Rob, before we get to the most important topic of the night, and that what's going to happen to the Saints and Steelers with injuries to Big Ben and Drew Brees, I do want to do some fantasy shout-outs. So I'd love to extend that now and do the fantasy shout-outs, and then hopefully we get some time before the OT to talk about that big topic and how it changes the landscape of the NFL. Go ahead, bro.
All right. Fantasy shout-outs. Thanks to all of our competitors once again. Let's start with number one, of course. Yours truly, my team, We Bringing the Wood, had the biggest win of the week, 162.40 to the Purple and Gold Patrol's 97.32. Will in Madison, Wisconsin, his team, Gurley and Cumps, is 2-0 and in first place. League number two, KidCat 23, that's Kevin from New Orleans with a 175.42 win over Aaron Pelly's team from with a 175.42 to 110.20 win. And Matthew from Indianapolis, his team is in first place, flirted the Leafs at 2-0. League number three, Aaron from Bristol, Connecticut. His team winning had a 159.20 win over Andre, our co-host team. Andre's Rise Up Falcons 159.20 to 102.52. The Kings team, Julius from New Orleans, his team's in first place in that league at 2-0. League number four, Andre's wife, Marcy, with the biggest win of the week. Baby got backfield, actually beat my team, 149.06 to 139.16. And actually, she's in first place as well at 2-0. So those are the fantasy shout-outs for the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. another 2-3 fantasy week for me, so that wasn't pretty. I got to start turning these teams around.
Me and you both.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You know, I was trying to get the wife to beat Rob, and that's what I was going to say. Like, Rob, you got to beat Rob this week. You know, by any means, man, you got to beat Rob. It's for the Warriors. It's for everything. All the marbles.
Oh, my God.
Drew Brees got hurt. So she was like, I got you. So I'm like, that's right. So she went all in, and we were making sure we were strategically trying to whip you, man. So, again, the goal was successful. So, we were a united – we're always a united front, but we were an extremely united front to make sure that, you know, again, we were just given, you know, because the motivation was there. You know, again, the Warriors, that was right there. You know, everything that you talk about, we were, you know, Saints, it was just – it was all good, man. So we were ready to go, man. So I just wanted to tell you that too, Rob. So, again, hey, what else you got to say about the changing landscape of the NFL with Big Ben and Drew Brees going down, Rob?
Well, I think when you look at it from a Pittsburgh perspective here, this season is done. Mason Rudolph, I mean, obviously this is a year to evaluate him and see if he had a future as an NFL quarterback. But when you look at that division right now, just off of two games, I mean, you look at the way Baltimore is playing, and then I still think Cleveland will be competitive, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But, you know, they're definitely behind
looking
those
like
two
it.
Teams in that division. And so it's you know, this could be Mike Tomlin's first losing season as a head coach for the Steelers. Then we look at it from the Saints' perspective. Obviously, I don't expect them to go to Seattle on the road and win this weekend. But when you look at their schedule, they could buy some wins with Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they got a Jacksonville team with his backup quarterback. They got a Colts team with a backup quarterback. This is just the kind of thing where they will have to figure out if some of the other players can, you know, step up and kind of carry them and at least be a 500 team until Drew Brees come back. The good thing for the Saints is that I would say the Falcons are the only team in the division that could possibly overtake them in this. But even with Teddy Bridgewater quarterback, the Saints are better
than
Tampa
possible.
Bay. Oh, let me finish my conversation. You asked me a question, right? But the Saints are definitely still better, in my opinion, than the Buccaneers in Carolina. So
they are.
It's a matter of the Saints just holding on until Drew Brees comes back, and they still got a shot at winning this division. Like I said, the Falcons are the only team that possibly could overtake the Saints. But that's not even a given. But that's my two cents.
Wrap it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another Talk in Sports with the 12th Man, another football power pack show. We still got a lot to cover in OD portion, people. So click on the same link on tomorrow to get the rest of the show. We got a lot more NFL to get to. We got some NFL predictions as well. We might even squeeze in some Major League Baseball talk if time permits in our OT portion. So once again, click on the same link. You'll get the rest of the show on tomorrow. Next week, we're going to be back on Tuesday night again. Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. For our friends in the Pacific Northwest, Portland, Seattle, Vancouver, Canada, make sure you tune in at 8 p.m. Pacific time on next Tuesday night. Good night, people.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all. I'm just here to listen to them talk about their teams because my team sucks. So it doesn't even worth bringing it up and putting them in the topic. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the show and commenting and downloading the link and giving us your feedback and dial in and giving us your opinions as well. We'd love to hear from you. Y'all have a good day.
Well, we did squeeze in some Ohio State love in for you.
Yeah, that's all I got. That's all I'm hanging on for. NFL's a wrap for me.
And we talk about the damn Lakers a lot during NBA season too.
Oh my goodness.
All that profanity in front of it though is just unnecessary. you know what I mean?
Gary and Curtis.
I think Gary and Curtis and Andre will back me up on that one.
How about them Cowboys? Are they the favorite over the Eagles in the NFC East? And you guys should get some talk and some love, man. That was a crazy, man. We barely beat them. So I'm not, beating my chest, man.
That was
a
good game. A
little help for you guys. But, yeah, it was stressful. But how about the Cowboys, Curtis Gary? What you think about? Are they going to take the Eagles? And then what about your boy, Dak Prescott? He's really angling to get that big top money. What say you guys?
Well, he's playing well, that's for sure. He's playing phenomenal. He's got the weapons too. You know,
yeah.
So if you have the weapons and you have that offensive line back intact, you know, that's a big plus. He is better than Carson Wentz right now. Absolutely. He is definitely more reliable as far as, not getting injuries, not injury prone. I think the Cowboys are a better team than the Eagles at all levels. I think their defense is better. I think their offensive line is better. I think their running game is better. And I think their quarterback is better. I think the Eagles are I can't wait to play them. I can't wait to play them, and we'll see how that goes. You know, the other team that I wanted to talk about, though, besides the Cowboys really quick, is everybody's, Cleveland Browns. I'm looking at their schedule right now.
Ooh, yes, sir.
They got Los Angeles, Baltimore, San Francisco, Seattle, New England, Denver at Denver.
All 2-0 teams.
Buffalo. I mean, they could potentially be in week 14 of the season with their sole victory against the Jets. I don't think they're going to be competitive at all.
Wow.
They're going to be
think
different.
That, yeah.
They could be different in Buffalo. Those other ones are tough. Those other games are tough.
Right. I mean, thank you. That's my point exactly. I mean, San Francisco's playing good. If they continue playing like this, it shouldn't be any problem for them. The Rams,
yep.
The Ravens,
New England,
the Seahawks, New England, Denver at Denver, Buffalo there in Cleveland, Pittsburgh maybe, but we'll see about that, Miami, they can beat Miami week 12. We'll give them a win in week 12.
Five of us can go to Miami.
Yeah, that's definitely winning.
And no, the landscape hasn't changed that much. You see the move that Pittsburgh made by getting that young kid out of Miami to shore up some of that defense.
Yeah,
and Mike Tomlin's thinking this division is wide open, and why not us? They haven't thrown in the towel yet. And they believe in this Rudolph guy. And now he's got an opportunity. What I just learned today, Rudolph is 6'3", 230 pounds. So they got another big boy back there. And I think they like having big boys back there. So
yeah, they do.
No, I don't think they're throwing in the towel. I don't think they're throwing in that terrible towel. I think Pittsburgh is looking at this division. And,
yeah.
They're looking at a 1-8 Cleveland team. They're going to crush.
Go to damn time.
Cincinnati, I gave you some props last week. Cincinnati looked like they was ready for some football when they went up to Seattle in that first week. And then this week,
smoked.
I'm not sure what happened.
They didn't know they had a football game, apparently.
They dropped their jock somewhere. They reverted back to putting a bag over bubble. Your face than yeah, putting a bag over your face in Cincinnati. God,
yeah,
what
horrible.
Was that?
Trash.
Wow. Yeah, I thought they looked like they were ready. And boy, was I wrong. They weren't ready for
both.
Nothing.
Not
and then, okay,
thing.
So it's Baltimore. It's Baltimore, Pittsburgh. And it's always been Baltimore, Pittsburgh for the longest time.
Yep.
Baltimore's got to keep that receiver they got, that guy that can outrun the league. They got to keep
Malcolm
him healthy.
Brown.
Yeah, they got to keep Malcolm Brown healthy, and he's kind of slight.
And he's Antonio Brown's cousin, so he's got some crazy in his game.
Well, we hope not. Yeah, that guy. I'm hoping he doesn't go. I'm hoping he doesn't go to jail. And if you guys don't know, the only reason why the Patriots got him,
whoa.
I mean, and I've been saying this, there's only two games in the AFC. Well, not two games. There's only one game in the AFC. And Bill Belichick and the Patriots are thinking, they're not going to let Kansas City out firepower them. If Kansas
mm-hmm.
City's going over the top with their Travis Kelsey and the other guy they got and all those guys, they need somebody that needs to go over the top on that Kansas City. They got a method in their madness, and they're always thinking ahead. But I guess they didn't see this coming. That boy might be going to jail. I'm hoping none of that crap is true. I'm really hoping, but I'm not an Antonio Brown fan, and he's on the team that I don't like either. So for me, this is the perfect storm, and their owner probably should have went to jail for his prostitution stuff. This is just fitting perfectly.
Cliff notes. Him and Tony Brown.
Yeah, this is just fitting perfectly. Yeah, the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, they're going to win the division. Jason Witten did not come back out of the broadcast booth if he did not think that he was going to be in the Super Bowl. He would not have came out of that broadcast booth if he didn't look at what's going on and came back to the Cowboys so he can play in a Super Bowl.
Wow.
Well,
good
call, Rob.
Well, good a callback. Yeah. I'd like to ask Rob a question. Do they have any doctors in New Orleans? He's going back to L.A. What are you trying to get, voodoo doctor or something in New Orleans?
They brought
this
voodoo down in New Orleans. I don't think Drew Brees wants to deal with a voodoo doctor, so, yeah, you better stay in L.A.
Go to L.A. again.
Get that thumb worked on in L.A.
You got to find when it comes to that thumb and hand, you got to find the best of the best. And if the best is in L.A., that's where you got to be at. I
hear that.
And I don't believe in voodoo, number one. So I don't, you know, I definitely don't
know
voodoo.
Wow.
It is New Orleans. And I've been in New Orleans.
I sent Andre and JQ a picture of Mr. Miyagi working on his hand.
Yes, you did. Me too.
Karate Kid.
And this week, if New Orleans couldn't block Aaron Donald, somebody try to tell me how Cleveland is going to block Aaron Donald unless they bring a dump truck into the stadium and line him up against
that dude is unblocked.
They are in a lot of trouble Sunday. A lot.
I've seen too much of Aaron Donald the last 3 years, and that dude is unblockable. He is unblockable. That's just the bottom line. But going back to the Cowboys and the topic that we're on here, I mean, you got to include that Dak Prescott is in the MVP conversation after two games so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has been phenomenal. It seemed like he's throwing the football accurately. He's confident. He's being a leader out there as well. So, I mean, as I mentioned, all good things come from Louisiana. And, we got one Louisiana quarterback about to retire in Eli Manning. So we got another one stepping up in Dak Prescott. But, you know, I mean, give credit where credit is due. I mean, you all know I don't like the Cowboys, but, hey, they're playing well. And I will say, I mean, as of right now, from what I see as the two games, they look clearly better than the Eagles. I mean, the Eagles beat the Redskins, but they struggled for a good bit of that game. They wound up coming back and winning the end. The Cowboys have been impressive in both of their victories this season. Now, albeit against the Giants and the Redskins, those are still NFL teams that they looked impressive in both of those football games. I mean, obviously they're going to win again this weekend because they're playing Miami. That game might be 55-0. And so, I mean, it's not going to be a – it's going to be another easy victory for the Cowboys this weekend. So I would definitely say when you look at the way Dak Prescott is playing in that defense and with a running game and offensive line, as of right now, my personal opinion, I know we're going to get to our top five teams in a bit, I think the Cowboys are the best-looking team in the NFC right now, in my opinion. I don't think they're the best team in the NFL. I think both the Patriots and the Chiefs are better than the Cowboys. But I think they're definitely the best team in the NFC right now.
But excuse me, the Eagles didn't win that last game. They did not.
That?
The Eagles.
They didn't win that last game.
I said they didn't win that in their first two games.
I thought you said that I thought you said they came back. They didn't come back.
And the thing about it right now is that I mean, listen, and I've got multiple leagues, but the two leagues that I pay money for to try to win money, Dak Prescott has been my quarterback, and I'm 2-0 and 1-1, and I just ran into a buzzsaw the first week. Dak has been ridiculous, so I can't. You know, I've seen it happen with my score changes. I'm like, man, you get the update, and Dak has gotten in the zone again. And he had a nice run. He was trying to run into Josh Norman. I don't know what that was about. Like, if he just dig back into the middle, he might have scored. But that's neither here nor there. He's looked fantastic, and he's made me personally eat a lot of crow about what I talked about him earlier in the season, before the season started. So I got to give him more credit. Like Rob said, you got to give him credit where credit is due. But I also look at it in terms of that Philadelphia team. Alshon Jeffrey got hurt in that game as well with a calf. And now DeSean Jackson, who actually just was taking the lead off the defense against Washington, is out with an abdominal strain. They say 2 weeks, but I think it's going to be a little bit longer than that because he was either that or have surgery, which would have put him out for 6 weeks. So when they say 2 weeks, I just don't believe that. It's more like 3 to 4 weeks. So I would like to see what that Philadelphia team would be when they're all healthy. But, you know, all things being considered the way it is right now, and the way Dak is playing, I mean, they haven't even had to have Zeke have a Zeke game where he just puts them on his shoulders. Dak has put them on his shoulders. And you lose Gallup to the knee injury, and, oh, you go get Devin Smith from where is he from? The Ohio State University. And he goes out and catches him a bomb against the Giants. And it's like, you know, they're almost plugging the player in the Cooper right now. It was crazy. And we went from where last year, where before he had Amari Cooper, where they were struggling. We're like, man, what's going on with the passing game? And you get Amari Cooper, and he takes off. But now that he's got Cooper, it's almost like he's just plugging and playing the other positions. Like, okay, I'm going to get Zeke. But, you know, once I have Zeke and Cooper, I'm good. You can just give me anybody, the second, third wide receiver. We're going to ball out. Go get it. You know, my tight end is what I'm doing. Go get me 85-year-old Jason Witten catching a touchdown in the first 2 weeks. You know, that's the only thing he's doing. But he's catching a touchdown in the first 2 weeks and then putting points on the board. So you got to give the Cowboys a lot of credit for having an offseason from hell in terms of three of your best players on offense being – not under contract and having to weather at least getting Zeke back, they still got to get Amari and Dak taken care of. But to come into the season with all that happening, albeit against bad competition, but still being focused. Because we've all seen teams come out that don't have focus and they play a lesser team and they play down to the competition and they don't ball out like they should. That's not what you're seeing coming from Dallas. I think a lot of it has to do with Dak's leadership. So I give him a ton of credit for coming out focused without his deal and say, you know what, I just put it on the field and y'all going to have to pay me one way. Either franchise me 3 years in a row like Kirk Cousins and pay me through that, or you're going to have to break me off a long-term contract. Either way, I'm going to get paid. And he's coming out and he's balled like that. He's earning every money. And Dallas required, like, has got to be sitting there saying, we might need to go ahead and get this deal done now, because if he keeps playing like this, the price tag just keeps going up every week. So,
Jerry Jones is not going to have an issue paying whatever he's going to pay. He's going to keep Dak. Dak is fine. Dak's going to get paid. But the big person in this whole equation that we haven't talked about, that Curtis and I haven't talked about, is Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback out of Boise State. When he was at Boise State, you know, he had a 50-3 record at Boise State. He came into the pros. He didn't have the arm strength to play. But as far as knowing the playbooks, he played on practice squads in Detroit and also in Dallas before he made both teams at different times. And he was that guy, Tony Romo said, and Tony Romo has been a really good commentator since he's left the football field, and he's been one of those guys that really can tell you what's going on before it happens. And with that said, he said that probably the greatest football mind that he's come across was Kellen Moore, because Kellen Moore came from a family where his dad coached football in Idaho Washington for many years, and won 6 state championships. So he grew up around the game, and when he was on these practice squads, not only did he know both Detroit, when he was in Detroit and with Dallas, their playbook better than anybody else, also the opponent's team that they were playing that week. So he's got a really good football mind, so I'm really excited about that change in offensive coordinators, and I think that he's got to get some of that credit, because the game plan is nothing like what we saw last year in these two games. It's wide open. It's down the middle. Mm-hmm. It's multiple sets. It's confusion for the – it's not hand it off to Zeke.
Ball control.
You know, it's wide open, and I think it makes Dallas way more – effective. It's been over this season, it's going to, you know, barring any injuries, it's going to make, you know, Ezekiel Elliott way more effective, because they don't know what the hell they're going to do. They don't know if they're going to run the ball with a guy that can run it for, you know, a 60-yard touchdown or mow you over, or if they're going to throw it over the top to, you know, a collective group of receivers that's done quite well. So we're really excited about the team. Here in America.
We're pretty excited for you too, man. We let them have too much airtime for that one. I'm just joking. Hey, for the West Coasters here, a lot of love for you guys. Want to definitely get your thoughts in. East Coasters, we wanted to kind of wrap this up, so we want to at least get some sleep on a decent hour too. So, again, I would say really quickly, I do want to just ask about Jalen Ramsey, and then you can kind of talk about the top five teams, because if we do this, we'll stay on the topic too long. I know we want to at least get done pretty soon. So just really quickly, not a comment about Jalen Ramsey and his kind of demands about being traded. A talented guy, man, just kind of interesting to see what's happening with that. And then, I don't know, Rob, you want to do the top five, and then I guess we'll wrap this show up too. So if that's okay, let's be really brief on our topics. You guys can say anything you want, and we will wrap up another great edition talking sports for the 12th man. Even though Rob got me riled up, I apologize, America, but that's what he does, man. So go ahead, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good radio, man. That's good radio for our listeners.
I know.
But, yeah, the Jalen Ramsey situation – this was one of those situations that was not talked about a lot in the preseason. You heard about the Melvin Gordons. You heard about the Ezekiel Elliott, the Dak Prescott, the Amari Cooper, the Michael Thomas. But this is another situation of a guy that wanted to get a new contract, and he did not get it. from the Jaguars. So I think that's where it kind of all started when it comes from the trade request. And now the way this team has started off, I think it just kind of took it to another level as well. And I think that's where the trade request is coming from with Jalen Ramsey. So it will be interesting to see. That division, even though Jacksonville is 0-2, is still very wide open. Obviously, the Colts don't have Andrew Luck. Jacksonville doesn't have Nick Foles. You would think that it might lean more toward Houston in that division now, or maybe even Tennessee. But that division is still very wide open. The Colts is 1-1, Houston is 1-1, and I think Tennessee all 1-1 with Jacksonville being 0-2. So we'll see, you know, where that leads Jalen Ramsey and the Jaguars here in the next few weeks. As far as my top five teams in the league, I still got the Patriots number one. They're still the defending champs, and they've blown out both of their first two opponents with ease, and they got Antonio Brown in the fold. Their defense over the last 10 weeks, when you go look at last year and the start of this season, has been phenomenal. They've only given up 3 points this season. So right now, when you look at what they're doing offensively and then what they're doing defensively, I think they're still the most complete team in the league at the moment. I got the Chiefs number two. I know there's two AFC teams at the top, but Patrick Mahomes, my goodness. Video game, the way he's putting up numbers, he might even be the best in it. He might be the best quarterback in the league right now at this moment. Yeah,
for the Chiefs.
So you're talking
slump,
about a bright
future. Remember that sophomore slump? Everyone's going to figure him out. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, go ahead. Rob.
Nope. Nobody has. I got the Cowboys in the number three spot. We've talked about them enough tonight. And I got the Rams at number four. We talked about Aaron Donald being unblockable and what they're able to do on both sides of the ball. So I have the Rams at number four. And number five, I have the Baltimore Ravens. The Lamar Jackson and what he's doing. And I know we're going to talk about that. The Ravens at the Chiefs, I know that's a prediction for this weekend. Should be an intriguing matchup. Two young quarterbacks. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. I'm going to go with the Chiefs at home in that one. I'm going to go with that one at home. But I think it's going to be a great game. I'm looking at the Chiefs to win 34-28 in that ball game in Kansas City. I had an opportunity to go to a game at Arrowhead Stadium. That is one loud outdoor stadium. But I like the Chiefs at home in that one.
Yeah, and the thing about Jalen, I mean, all the points you make are extremely valid, but I looked at I was watching SportsCenter earlier, and they talk about some of the discontent in the Jacksonville locker room because you extended Blake Bortles after 1 year, and then you cut him after that the next year, and they had, I think, the most dead money on the cap space for one player, I think, ever in the history of the NFL. And then, you know, you talk about their defensive end, I just can't pronounce his name, still waiting to get a deal. Jalen Ramsey hasn't gotten a deal, but they extended their center after only the year three of his deal, and they went and paid for Norwell and gave him a big contract, and he hasn't lived up to billing. So they're looking at, well, you're paying these guys, and they aren't producing like how me and him are, but me and him are still waiting on deals. What gives? So there's a lot more friction in that Jacksonville locker room, and I think everybody was really giving it credit for in terms of why are these guys getting deals, and they're playing so apart, but the two dudes that are balling out aren't getting deals. And Jalen Ramsey is a different kind of cat, but you knew that when you drafted him. He's arguably the best, you know, cornerback in the league, and he deserves and rightfully so should be trying to demand his money. But when you do stuff like that and you hamstring your franchise by making bad money deals and you can't get better, it starts to fester. You don't want to count on the man's money, but when you see you and your homeboy balling out and y'all can't get a deal, but the other cast is getting deals, it's gonna cause some friction in the locker room. You get that offensive defensive friction, and I think that's starting to play out in that Jacksonville locker room. So it'll be interesting theater to see how that works out. But you're right, Rob. That division is still very winnable. If they can kind of find a way to just kind of right the ship and just make it work for a little bit, can they get back in and just some of this go away? Maybe, maybe not. Because I think Jalen, once he gets something in his mind, he just seems like a dude that is not really easy to change his thought process on it. And as far as your top five, I agree with it except for one. And the only one is, and Mike is not by me, but we talked about the Packers not necessarily winning that division, and they beat the Bears and the Vikings who we had above them probably in that division in back-to-back weeks. And the offense came alive in the first half against the Vikings, but they stalled out a little bit. So they still got some kinks to work out, and you've seen LaFleur and Rodgers get into it. But I think a little bit is healthy as opposed to just dodging each other and not liking each other. At least they're working it out, and they're still able to perform. I think that's still going to be a work in progress. But if you get a work in progress and you start 2-0 against two really big defensive teams, I'm going to give them the nod. So I will replace the Rams with the Packers, but I will put the Rams number 6 closely and probably move the Packers to 5 and move whoever you have 5 up to 4. So that's my 2 cents.
Gotcha. I will say this as a wrap-up, man. It's just tough. And you're looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, you talk about a squad that was just, you know, basically a couple plays away from, you know, being like, man, just knocking off the Patriots. And then to see how far they've fallen, I mean, it's crazy. And then getting Nick Foles.
Unbelievable.
Foles doing his thing. And then, you know, he got injured, you know, making that incredible pass. And you just thought that Jacksonville was there, man. And then just goes to show you just how different that squad is. I mean, how it's just incredible, man, how they've gone from that being a really promising squad to just, you know, again, getting right back at the bottom. So I guess you can kind of see what you said, JQ, Jalen Ramsey's frustration with everything in the situation too, but obviously dead money, just a lot of bad decisions, man. So it's just kind of a tough blow. But, I mean, Jalen Ramsey is extremely talented, as you mentioned, man. So whoever, if he does get traded, if they do stick with him, I mean, you're Jackson, you don't want to get rid of him, but it just seems like that. I mean, I don't know which franchise is more hamstrung, them or Cleveland, as far as getting like bad picks and making, you know, crazy decisions, man. It's been tough. So anyway, all good.
Cleveland.
I'm gonna let you guys. Yeah, well, we know Cleveland, but at least Cleveland sometimes
none of those guys are on the team.
Out, then
yeah,
I know.
But
okay,
you traded Julio pick, and none of those dudes are on the team. That is
that's
abject failure.
Yeah.
By the Cleveland Browns.
Well, 27 quarterbacks is an abject failure too. But at least they try. You know, they ain't giving it up, man. They trying to like. So I get it, you know. But anyway, all right, gentlemen, let's wrap this up. West Coast, man, I don't know. Rob, you want to wrap this up, man? Because, again, it's almost like 12:26. We want to be off by at least 12 third down zone. But, yeah, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Once again, we're going to be back on the air on Tuesday night next week, Tuesday, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to be back at you talking some sports, particularly college football, NFL. We're going to have a lot to talk about. You definitely don't want to miss next week's show. Once again, thanks for tuning in. We'll be back on Tuesday night on next week. Good night, people.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all for listening to the show and down on the link. And it hurts me to have to sit here and listen to this cowboy talk, but in the back of my mind, I got this dude in my money leagues, and I need him to ball out. So I can't really talk junk to Gary and Curtis because I need him to win, so I can win this month. So I'm definitely in a catch-22 right now. But you know, like you said, makes some great theater, great radio. We appreciate you guys as always, and we talk to you next Tuesday.
Good night.
The one time I get Drew Brees on my squad, he gets hurt, man. Just one of those crazy things, man. So I really don't know what to say about this, man. So it's just one of those things, man. So I've never had him on my squad ever before. So I'm like, I'll draft him, man, you know. So, again, I don't know if that's a thank you, Falcon fans, or no thank you, man.
How bizarre is that?
That's
crazy. Pretty bizarre, man. It is a little crazy, but that's just how it played out. But, again, I don't hate Drew Brees, per se. I think he's, you know, obviously respect him wholeheartedly. I hate the Saints. But, you know, obviously I don't wish any will to any players. So we'll see how that squad happens, man, again, because everyone says injuries are part of the game, and you got to play through them, man. So, again, it is what it is. Gentlemen, have a great, fantastic week. We'll talk to you guys next week, as always. And it's been fun. Be good, gentlemen.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good week.
Good night, people.
Good night.